It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
A complete team effort, their best of the year. It's a runaway train tonight. 9-1 the final from Blues, and they win their second straight.
Remaining time in the Golden Knights' three-game home losing streak is over. A season-high 7 goals and a 7-4 win over the Coyotes.
They go into the empty net. They score all the way down the ice, and it's 5-2. That was just a simple little clear. Heck of a job by the Sharks there.
Obviously, both guys catalysts for the offense. I think that, I think Bernsey had three assists tonight. We made some good plays, and I think that it was a good team win. It was a good team effort. They really came at us in the second period. We obviously didn't like our second period. I thought that, they pushed hard and we didn't really respond very well, but Jonesy was our best player tonight. And, he's in the zone. He's seeing the puck and he made some big saves at the right time.
All right. Happy Saturday, everyone. Good morning. I hope you're all having a nice Saturday morning. I know that you're waking up a winner, so we're feeling pretty good in that regard. Before we go any further, of course, we have to look at what happened last night in the NHL. Not helping the Sharks was St. Louis absolutely slaughtering Minnesota by a final of 9-1. Helping the Sharks was Vegas taking it to the Coyotes by a final of 7-4. When we take a look at the standings right now, the Sharks, 39 games in, 18 wins, 17 losses, and 40 points. For the Blues, 40 games in, 18 wins, 16 losses, 6 overtime losses, 42 points, 2 ahead of the Sharks. And Arizona, 41 games played, 19 wins, 17 losses, 5 overtime losses, 43 points on the year, 3 points ahead of the Sharks, 1 point ahead of St. Louis. The Sharks have less than a month of hockey left to go here before they finish up their season with 2 against Arizona, hosting Arizona in what could be the 2 biggest games of the year. And if the Sharks are in a point to punch their ticket at that point, you will know they have done the work. But compared to where the Sharks were in January and in February and even in points of March, this is a huge, huge win once again for the San Jose Sharks, and they all feel like huge wins. And I go back to what I said after the loss to Anaheim earlier in the week, and no, not that you can tell which Sharks team is showing up from the get-go, but just to figure out what's it going to be. Are they going to bounce right back from this performance, or are they going to start to slide? And the Sharks, much to their credit, they did not do that slide. They did not do that, regression to maybe a poorer team that they were earlier in the year. The Sharks bounced back with a good performance. It wasn't their best game of the year. It wasn't their most complete performance. And I don't know that it's really easy to quantify that at this point, but the Sharks stepped up. They were ready to go. They played with the necessary intensity from the start of the game, and they were able to respond to the tough parts of the game. I go no further then the shorthanded goal late in the game. Tomáš Hertl takes a bad penalty on a high stick, and he goes to the box. It's a 3-2 game, and suddenly the Sharks are on the kill with the game on the line. And I remember, I do this thing where I watch myself, and it's ridiculous, and I go, this would not be a bad time for a shorthanded goal, would it, Teddy? And obviously, it's never a bad time for a shorthanded goal, but it's a joke that I say to myself because it so rarely happens. And sure enough, the Sharks go down and score a shorthanded goal.
We're down to 3 remaining in the penalty. 3:05 in the game. Here's the Sharks. 2-on-0 breakaway. Moving in, Gambrell shoots and scores. A 2-on-0 breakaway. How did that happen? Gambrell and Kane, they pass to each other. Gambrell finishes it off with 3 minutes to play in the third period. It's a shorthanded goal for Dylan Gambrell. It makes it 4-2 San Jose.
I mean, what a response at that point. If you're the Sharks, that's the most critical moment of the game, and you come up with one of the most critical plays of the game. And that's not to overlook the performances by Jones. That's not to overlook any of the earlier goals that were scored by a Balcers or by LeBanc or by Marleau. But that game, so critical at that moment because anything can happen, and that can swing both ways. And earlier in the year, I feel that's a situation where the Sharks would have given up that game-tying goal and things would have most definitely gone not their way, to put it bluntly. But the Sharks stepped up to the moment. They made something happen. They made a play. And that's also a credit to Dylan Gambrell for being able to finish in that situation. And I got a chance to interview him one-on-one last year, and I didn't know Dylan that well, and I had been watching his game develop. But I sat down and talked to him, and he just struck me as a younger guy. And that's what happens. I'm 38 now. When I meet guys that are in their early 20s, it strikes me as such. You know, I say, yeah, this guy's young. Well, it's awesome that he's playing in the NHL, but he struck me as young. And then to watch him now, he doesn't strike me as young the same way. He looks older on the ice. His game is more mature. His body is more mature. He just looks more ready for the moment. And that's not to take anything against him, because last year was the most time on the ice he'd had in the NHL, but he just had that look about him last year where he was still learning. There was a wide-eyed process at time. And that's not a knock on him at all. You can just see sometimes where guys are learning the game more. I saw it with Ferraro more last year. You saw potential, but at the same time, you didn't see that comfort on the ice. Now Gambrell looks much more comfortable when he's out there. It looks like he's stronger on the puck, obviously. He just looks like he's more ready for the moment. And last night was a moment where he had to be ready because he didn't know what Kane was going to do in that situation. Kane brought it over to him, and he was ready to finish. He put it in the back of the net. That decided the game. And the Sharks are having these younger players, these developing players, the established veterans. It seems like it's all getting better. It's all coming together. The timing could not be better, especially overall in the arc of the season and in terms of what we saw in that game last night. That's a backbreaker for the Kings. 3-2, power play, 4 minutes and change left in the game. They're back in that. No question. That's their opportunity. And then Gambrell hits him with a death blow. Just a huge, huge moment.
Yeah, that's a big one for us. You know, we had a okay start. I think the second half of the first, we were good. You know, we found a way to get up. And then in the second, I thought we were a little bit off. But, you know, we played well in the third there and were able to come out on top.
That was Gambrell in the post game speaking with Dan Ruzanowski on the radio broadcast here on the Sharks Audio Network. And he knows it's big for the team. And he knows that they all had to step up in that moment. And I think that one of the things that he addressed that to me was so critical was the need to step up for Martin Jones.
LeBanc makes a tough move on Kopitar. Drops it back near side. Couture double teamed. Checked there by Clegg. Worked free by Brown. Headman feed. And here comes Iafato. He gets to the defense. Breakaway. The shot. Saved by Martin Jones. And a breakaway by Iafato with the glove. He does it again. Stopping it with 5:26 to go. Second period. The Sharks 3 and the Kings 1.
I mean, that was just one of many huge saves that Martin Jones made in that second period when he put the team on his back and absolutely carried them. I mean, the Sharks did not have a good second period. Let's not be clear. They didn't play poor enough to blow it, but the Kings and the pushback that they were giving for the Sharks after the first period in which the Sharks go down 1-0 early and then respond with three consecutive goals, the Sharks maybe weren't ready for the Kings in that pushback because the Kings just kept on coming. Sharks weren't getting possession in the offensive zone. The Sharks weren't controlling the puck. It was all Kings, and Martin Jones kept on coming up with huge performances, and you needed to bail him out because he bailed them out, and you got to give him some breathing room. And in that game, you know, it's a 3-2 game when Tomas Hertl goes into the box and the Sharks go on the kill. Gambrell gets the shorthanded goal, then Hertl bags the empty netter. Suddenly a 3-2 game turns into a 5-2 game. You give Martin Jones that support. You give him in return what he gave to you in that critical second period and all throughout the entire game. I mean, let's not mince words here or anything. Martin Jones has been spectacular and much a surprise to everyone. I never expected Martin Jones to recapture his game for a form of this long. I was hopeful that he could, and I knew it was possible. It just wasn't in the realm of my expectations, and I don't think that people were expecting it either. And I don't think that he ever doubted himself, which is so amazing to me, because people have asked him in the post games, they've said, oh, you know, when you were pulled a bunch earlier in the year, did that really spur things? Did that get you going? He's been very quick to kind of laugh it off and say no. And for whatever reason, Martin Jones has at least temporarily fixed his game to a point that we have not seen in years. I give him a lot of credit to that. I give a lot of credit to Nabokov, and I don't know what they've done, but the two of them have seemingly figured it out. And I think it's crazy to me that we're now watching this and waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is really a weird way to watch sports. But you kind of feel like, okay, how long is it going to last? How long is it going to last? But then I keep on watching these performances, and it's not luck. And the goals that get scored against him are well-earned. And I know that this year is weird, the schedule's weird, you're seeing guys two games in a row. These all have to be taken into consideration, but it's the same story on the other side, right? I mean, Martin Jones is seeing the same teams on consecutive nights on sometimes, or consecutive games, I should say, and it's the same for the opposition. They have a scouting report. They saw him the night before. They can go against him again. They can try and figure out ways to score. Both Martin Jones and the opposition offense have the same scouting report, same amount of time, same amount of recovery to figure out how they're going to score. They're just not doing it. And Martin Jones is one of the, if not the biggest reasons, why the San Jose Sharks are 3 points out of the final playoff spot in the West right now, with less than a month of hockey left to play before the end of this abbreviated season. And Jones is obviously the hot hand, so what is Bugner going to do tonight?
Yeah, we haven't discussed that. I'm going to go back in the coach's room and talk about it. We got to be careful here. I think that we got a lot of hockey to be played. And yes, every game is so important. We're fighting for our lives. We know that. But, we got two good goalies here and two guys that are, that could play in any given night. So it's more about how the team's playing in front of us. Now, we can't leave our goalies out to dry like we did in the second period. And, our power play, it's unacceptable to give up two breakaways and, they jump out of the box and it's almost a 3-on-1 the other way. Those are things we need to clean up. But we'll see. We're going to talk about that right now.
Last week, he did go with Jones on the second night of a back-to-back, and I was surprised by that. I'll be honest, but Jones came through with a big performance. So Bugner has a tough decision to make because he knows that every single one of these games is so massively important as the Sharks continue to fight for this final playoff spot in the West. And although I don't envy that decision-making process, you'll love the fact that the Sharks are making progress, that they are getting better at the right time, that they are in the midst of this fight. And you look at performances like Brent Burns last night, who had 3 assists. He hasn't done that since January 5th of 2019 in a 3-assist game against Tampa Bay. Evander Kane had multiple assists on the night. Patty Marleau had a goal for a second consecutive game. Timo Meier, who's been much more active, he had an assist last night. He had 5 different Sharks scoring goals last night. You talk about a team victory, and that's exactly what that was for the Sharks last night. And they're going to need more of that coming down the stretch. I don't know if Bugner is going to go with Dubnyk or Jones tonight, but whoever it is, the team has to stand up in front of them, and they can't put the onus entirely on their goalie. I mean, I've said this before, but there's only so many times that you can ask your goalie to bail you out. And I understand that is part of the game, but the Sharks have got to do a little bit better of a job to give themselves more of a cushion. They had a great first period after falling behind early. They had great energy over the entirety of the period, and that was what was interesting. And you watch the Kings go up early in that game, and you are 2.5 minutes in, suddenly you're down. The Sharks hadn't done anything particularly wrong up to that point. They just hadn't done anything particularly right. But they have a big response after that, and they come roaring back, and it's Kevin LeBanc leading the charge.
Faceoff coming up deep in San Jose ice to the left side of Martin Jones, who's made a couple of excellent stops so far. Shots on goal are 9-4 in favor of the Kings, who have a 1-0 lead on the strength of a goal. Iafallo's 10th from Brown and Kopitar at 2:27. Sharks get the draw. They move in. A shot by LeBanc. He scores! A faceoff win deep in their own zone. A simple rush up the ice. The puck gets in the middle of the ice to Kevin LeBanc, and he blasts it home to tie the game 1-1. What an important goal that was.
Yes, very accurate from Rusinowski. A very important goal because suddenly, after falling behind early, you come back with the equalizer, changes the dynamic of the game once again when it looks like the Kings had maybe gotten the jump on the Sharks despite the Sharks having good energy to start the game. Suddenly, the Sharks are right back in it. But Couture is banged up. We all know that. He almost didn't play yesterday, and he's been dealing with injuries for a while now. Couture has done his job consistently all year long. And by the way, he made a couple of great plays last night defensively, just looking like he was just seeing things all so well because he's finding different ways to contribute. You had Kevin LeBanc in that situation. If Couture isn't going to be able to score those goals because he's banged up and he's made his contributions in whatever way that he can, the fact that LeBanc is able to go out there and score that goal, it just speaks to the overall ability for everyone to do their job on the team. Kane has been doing his job all year long. He found different ways to contribute last night. Burns found ways to contribute. Carlson found ways to contribute. You go back to this idea of it being a team effort, and I think that was a team effort that we saw last night, even if we particularly look at Martin Jones as being the guy that bailed you out. Sometimes you do need a guy to bail you out. Whatever. I mean, that's just how it goes. But that doesn't mean that other guys didn't have big-time performances on the night, and you continue to watch this team step up to the moment. That's what I appreciate. And again, I go back to the Tuesday night loss against Anaheim. It was going to be important to see how the Sharks bounce back in this game. They fall behind 1-0 early, then LeBanc gets them right back in it. He's on that top line. He's expected to perform. His contract had expectations, and at the start of the year, he was not getting rewarded with those points. Since that point, he has come on very, very strong and continues to be a big part of what the Sharks have done offensively and a part of this charge. They are now four games into this critical seven-game stretch against the Kings and Anaheim. They've won three of the first four games. The expectation is that to stay in the race, they needed to win five of those seven games. Well, now let's see if they can make it six. They've got LA tonight, a day off. Monday night, home against Anaheim. You want to get that revenge after having that flat performance a week ago. And then you have one more game on Wednesday night against Anaheim to finish up this seven-game set. And you put yourself into a good situation going up against Minnesota with two on the road and then two on the road against Vegas, where in four consecutive games, it's going to be a hard-fought battle to come away with points. But up to this point of this seven-game stretch, by winning three out of four, the Sharks have put themselves in a very good situation, and that's what you wanted them to do. And now they're going to have to push forward with even more to finish up this seven-game set, hopefully win six out of seven, carry that momentum into four tough games on the road, and continue to press for that playoff push. All right, we are going to take a break. You are on Morning Tide.
Coors Light wants to help you catch a Sharks game from the best seats in the house. Just share a photo of your Sharks at-home game setup to sjsharks.com/homeice for a chance to win Coors Light Silver Seats tickets, Sharks gear, and more. Winners will be chosen weekly, so post a pic showing how you watch the Sharks to sjsharks.com/homeice today. 2021 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Must be 21 or older. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Intercepted, middle of the ice by Moore. Guns it around the boards. Sharks get a second chance to get it out, and this time they're going to make it because Erik Karlsson headmans. It's a breakaway for Meyer. Moving in, backhand shot save, rebound, score! Rudolf Balcers trailing the play, bangs it home. Sharks 3, Kings 1.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that goal that Rudy scored is a typical Rudy goal. He goes to the net hard. He stops in the hard areas. If you go back and you watch the tape, you see who's finishing every hit on his line, and he does a lot of the grunt work on that line, and blocking shots, things like that. So, you know, for a guy that is really his first full year in the NHL, another guy that's getting better every day and improving, he's been probably one of our for me anyway, not knowing the player before he came over, one of my best surprises. And I think he's going to be a good player for us for a long time.
One of the big factors for the Sharks this year was going to be the development of younger or less experienced players. And that's what you've had. Rudolf Balcers has been a huge contributor for the Sharks since he joined this team, and he keeps on getting better and better with each passing game, it seems like. We talked about Dylan Gambrell earlier and the contributions that he has been making and the way that his game continues to evolve. Mario Ferraro, we knew he was good after last year. I don't think anyone expected his game to elevate to the extent that it has in just his second year in the NHL. We knew, again, what he was capable of. It just seemingly has happened a lot faster than we maybe expected it to. John Leonard has the obvious physical skill set, and the speed is eye-popping out there on the ice. He is becoming more and more of a complete player. But we knew the Sharks were dependent on these younger guys and on these talents that we would consider more raw, and that's exactly what we're seeing now. As the younger guys get better, as they take on more of the onus, as they take the pressure away from your higher-paid, big-name guys, it allows those guys to do more on the ice. And I don't mean that in the sense that the other guys, your Canes, your Coutures, whoever it's going to be, that they don't have to do as much. It's just they know that the onus isn't entirely on them. And I think that's something you have to pay attention to in sports. When guys know that they are the only option, sometimes it does allow them to flourish, but sometimes it can cause a lot of gripping. It can cause a lot of tighten up. Guys know that they have have to go out there and put one in the back of the net or make the stop or do whatever it is. Right now, the Sharks, they're getting it across the board. Again, you look at last night, LeBanc, Marleau, Balcers, Gambrell, and Hurdle. That means you're getting guys on all four lines scoring goals last night. And, of course, two of them are coming from Balcers and Gambrell, who are extremely young guys on the end of the spectrum and are developing and, in concert with that development, are performing. And that's a credit to Doug Wilson and what he's been able to do, because there was a lot of doubt about whether or not these players were going to be able to develop, whether or not they were going to be able to contribute enough. And in a shortened season like this, when you do have fresh legs out there on the ice, when you do have guys that are younger, I think it does help. I know that earlier in the year, we talked about the idea that the team, the younger guys in particular, they were the ones that were more suffering from this rapid fire schedule than the older guys. That may have been the case earlier in the season, but I do think that right now, because the Sharks have younger legs out there in guys like Ferraro, in Gambrell, in Balcers, you look at even Timo Meier, who is a more experienced player at this point of his career, but he is on the young end of things. These guys are able to contribute. They're able to do a lot out there on the ice. They are maybe at this point not feeling the fatigue the same way as some of the more established veterans across the league, and it's why the Sharks are continuing to surge. I mean, it's not just that it's Martin Jones coming up with big performances. It's everyone coming up with big performances. It's everyone being able to contribute. And again, that's because Logan Couture, while he's all banged up right now, he knows that a John Leonard, that a Rudy Balcers can step in and come up with big plays. He's not overexerting himself because he feels there's no one out there that's going to pick up the slack. Same story for Evander Kane. Same story for Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson. However you want to go across it, the Sharks, as they're playing right now, are a result of the entirety of the roster. Here's Logan Couture on Rudolph's Balcers.
Yeah, I remember when he was here before, we were excited about him. And Doug pulled me aside in Arizona at the start of the year and said that Rudy was available and we were going to grab him. So Doug and the staff were very excited. You know, I hadn't watched him play in Ottawa too often. Usually when I watch those games, I'm looking only at number 71 on Ottawa. So I didn't know how he had played the last little while, but he's been very good for us.
And then there's the culture that Bob Bugner has been developing here. I think one of the fun things we saw last night was fighting Marcus Sorensen.
You know, I don't think he started either one. I think he's playing his game and, you know, he made some great plays. I mean, assist on the goal in the first. He's the one that did all the dirty work on that penalty kill, you know, to chip that out to for Gambrell's goal. You know, so I thought he played a real solid game tonight. But it's a guy just looks like wants to make a difference right now. And he missed a game this week. And, you know, he came back in and he was a big part of our win tonight. And it's nice to see that, you know, coming from the depth side of your forward lines.
And here's the captain, Logan Couture, weighing in on Sorensen.
He played with passion. You know, it's been a tough year for him. You know, he's such a hard worker and he's such a good teammate. And it's always positive. So those are the guys that you pull for. You know, I think he's played a really good stretch of hockey. He's battling through some injuries, but he doesn't make any excuses. He shows up and works extremely hard. So happy for him tonight to make a few nice plays and stuck up for himself at the end.
And although the rivalry between the Kings doesn't feel like it has the same heat that it did, you know, a decade ago for a good stretch there, it definitely is feeling like it's heating up once again. But this is the last time the Sharks and the Kings are going to go against each other this year. And the Sharks want to take advantage of it, A, to keep their momentum rolling into this two-game set against Anaheim, but also just because they can kind of put that on the Kings, an exclamation point, to end the year. The Sharks are 6-1-0 against the Kings this year. If they can finish it 7-1-0 over 8, that's an exclamation point to stamp on the end of the year and look back at. There's nothing wrong with 6-2, but it's not as good as 7-1. But another thing that I'm looking at in terms of the context of the team, and we look at it this year and we're also looking at next year because you can't not talk about the future with the San Jose Sharks because you want to see where this is going, but that you have these younger players that are getting what they experience as a playoff push, that they are playing in big games right now that aren't playoff games. This is how you build a team, right? I mean, you have this opportunity where the team has to be better, where they have to get markedly better week after week after week. But it's still the regular season. It's not the playoffs. And the playoffs with young players, yeah, it's a great time for them to step up, but you're still putting a lot of that onus on them if you ride into that on a hot streak or whatever it is. Let's lay the groundwork now. Get these guys used to playing in these big games and playing for these big moments. Because if you look at playoff hockey, it's defined by big moments. It's not necessarily how you play over the course of the 60 minutes. And yes, I know that sounds counterintuitive, but over the course of the 60 minutes, you have to be great. You can't drop off. It's about how you respond in those moments. And that's what I'm so pleased with the Sharks right now, is that Sometimes it's not great over 60 minutes, but it feels like they're stepping up to the moment. It feels like they're coming up with the big plays at the right time. Of course, a big part of that goes to Martin Jones, but then you go across the board. You know, Patty Marleau scoring in two consecutive games. You know, you have Timo Meier getting a chance on a breakaway and then right there to get the rebound as Rudolph's Balsers. You just have these good moments for the team where they are taking advantage of opportunities as they come. You score five goals. That doesn't happen by accident, but it also happens because you take advantage of situations as they present themselves. That has got to be more and more of the Sharks' identity because they are not as good across the board in terms of talent as some of the upper echelon teams in the league. But what they are doing right now in their own division is punishing the opposition for their mistakes. And sometimes that's how it's got to be. It's not got to be just overall that your skill set is that much higher, that your execution is that much better. It's got to be that you are taking advantage of situations. And as that happens, as these younger guys get used to that mentality, as their game grows, as they step more into the role of being the key players for the Sharks in the now and in the future, that will prepare them for what we hopefully see as a postseason this year. If you do have younger legs for the Sharks in the postseason who are used to responding to big moments, who have been playing in big games all year long because they've all felt big ever since the Sharks got themselves into a hole if they wanted to climb back into it, they're used to that mentality. They're used to the idea of seeing and playing opportunistic hockey. And I'm not trying to get ahead of myself in the slightest, and obviously, selfishly, I want the Sharks to get into the playoffs, but I am curious to see how these young guys would respond if the Sharks are able to secure a berth. I mean, there's a part of me that just wonders how this team would do because you can make noise with no pressure and absolutely no expectations. I do not think this team has a deep run in them at this point. I could be way off on that. I would be very hopeful that they would be if they are good enough to earn a spot into the playoffs. But I would just like to see that opportunity for these guys to get that experience, be able to make that noise, and just see overall what they can do. And I'm sure I am not the only one that feels that way. I am sure that Doug Wilson feels that way. I am sure that all the guys in that dressing room feel that way and want to get that opportunity to see what they can do because anything can happen when you do get into the postseason. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I love that the fact that this team is responding to these moments, that they are seemingly stepping up at the right time and making this push towards the postseason. That's not happening by accident. It's not happening by luck. Yes, a big part of that is that Martin Jones has returned to the level of play that he is capable of being, and it's been now for a consistent period of time. I'm not ignoring that in the slightest, but you also can't ignore that you have younger guys and developing players continually stepping up at the right time in conjunction with your established veterans and your big name guys who continue to perform. And what it's overall turning into for the Sharks is a pretty enjoyable team to watch right now. And I know that's easy to say because they are winning, but there's a lot of interesting dynamics out there on the ice right now. You have a banged up captain in Logan Couture who's finding his way to contribute right now through some tough times for him after he put the team on his back earlier in the year. Evander Kane, he's been dealing with a lot and he's been coming through with big performances, which I think is awesome. And he continues to find ways to up his game. You know, Brent Burns, 3 assists last night. Erik Karlsson, he had the great pass that allowed the goal from Balsers after Meier had the first look. It's an entertaining watch right now. And for the Sharks, even in some of their painful losses earlier in the year against Las Vegas, or a couple that were out there on the road where they went into the shootout or they went into overtime, it's been a progressively better watch over the course of the year. And that's something I always come back to, is entertainment. Like, there's been a part of me that's been watching these games and I've been thinking to myself, would it be better if the Sharks weren't this good? Would it be better if they were securing a better spot in the draft for next year? I do. I think about these things because I try not to get away from what the goal is, but I also try to be a realist. But at the same time, in the Bay Area, and I've talked about this before, there is so much competition. If the Sharks aren't good, then people are going to spend their money on another team or another avenue of entertainment in the Bay Area. But the way they're playing right now, the way that they are responding, the way that they are putting an entertaining product out there on the ice, that's better than a draft pick and future potential. Reality as it exists here and now is more valuable than what might be in the future. And the future, who knows what that's going to hold. But right now, the Sharks are giving you and giving everyone around the Bay Area a reason to tune in, a reason to watch, a reason to think about getting back out to SAP Center whenever we're allowed to go back into the arena. and none of us knew how it was going to go this year. I think we all were hopeful that things would progress in the right direction, but we had no idea if that was going to be the case. The fact that the Sharks are, with less than a month left to go, 3 points out of the final playoff spot in the West is a pleasant surprise, and that means we get to watch important hockey all the way to the end. All right, that wraps it up for this morning's edition of Morning Tide. I will talk to you all tomorrow morning after the Sharks finish up this two-game set and eight-game series against the Kings in the 2021 season. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Lead pass now up the middle. It goes to Sorensen. Got to watch Carlson to see if he's okay back on the bench. Meanwhile, Burton's on the ice, moving in. Throws to the front. Deflected. Score! Marlon with BL were in front of the net. Brent Burns fired it. And the San Jose Sharks take the 2-1 lead.